when the first Star Wars movie was coming out, I thought it was a hoax.
A hoax?
Keep talking, man.
Well, because there have been so many hoaxes about it.
There you are.
I mean, it only took them, what, 30 years? No big deal. How long do I got to talk? I didn't plan on talking this long about this. It was just like a one-liner.
Just keep going.
I'm
just
doing
keep
a whole stand-up routine up here. I'm sweating. I need a cup of water. Can I have a cigarette?
This is Christian from Metropolis, America, and you are listening to Comic Pop Library.
What I am about to tell you sounds crazy, but you have to listen to me. Your very lives depend on it.
This is not the end.
You see, this isn't the first time. Now, we've had this conversation. What day is it?
Judgment Day. You just came in with the fresh recruits.
This is not the end.
The invasion will fail, along with every soldier you are sending. We lose everything.
Come find me when you wake up.
You do know what's happening to me.
What happened to you happened to me. You hijacked their power. I need your help.
With what exactly?
Winning the war. We can do this. Just come here every day and I'll train you.
This is not
no matter what I do, this is as far as you go.
Why does it matter what happens to me?
Soldier.
Of course you're not. You're a weapon.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Popcorn Movies. I'm Richard, along with
Luis,
Jonathan,
and Lenny.
And we are brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the Tom Cruise movie Edge of Tomorrow, or whatever they decide to call it anymore, because I think it's changed its names I don't know how many times, but right, we'll go with Edge of Tomorrow for this episode.
What was the original?
Kill?
The original title was All You Need Is Kill.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they figured the audiences couldn't wrap their heads around that, so they changed it to Edge of Tomorrow. Then when the DVD came out, now it's called Live, Die, Repeat, Edge of Tomorrow.
That's part of the title.
Now, yeah, with the DVD.
They should have just kept the Edge of Tomorrow. That sounds a little bit better than Live, whatever.
Probably, I like the propaganda of it, but I don't think it should be part of the title.
Right. They were probably looking at the first title as being a little bit PC incorrect. All You Need Is Kill. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though that's the original title.
Well, that's all they needed.
There you go.
Read the book if you don't understand.
Right. All right. So, Jonathan, what is this movie about?
Okay. So, it came out on when it was released.
2014.
Yeah, to the, June 6th of 14, and it is about a military officer who is brought into an alien war against extraterrestrial enemies who can reset the day and know the future. When this officer is enabled with the same powers, he teams up with Special Force Warrior to try and end the war. And then it goes into a little bit more detailed. They talk about the names. The guys whose name was Major William Cage, who's played by Tom Cruise. And then there's Rita
Vrataska.
And she's played by Emily Blunt. Yeah. And the budget the estimated budget on this was
a lot.
$178 million.
Did it make profit?
The opening weekend was $28,760,246. And the gross was $100,189,501.
So it didn't even make it back.
No, it didn't.
But like I said at the beginning, this was, had its issues with marketing.
Right.
So they cannot market it for some reason.
Three, four, five different names. Of course people are not going to know what it's about.
Yeah.
Well, did the graphic novel come first or did the movie come first?
There was a novel.
The graphic novel came out?
No. The novel came out first. The novel was by Hiroshi Sakurazaka. And
so it's a manga.
Then it was adapted into a manga and then a movie.
Okay.
So it was an actual a novel over in Japan first and then the manga. And then
Wait, so it's like a Japanese author?
So it's adapted from the manga, though, correct?
No. Is the manga?
You could say a little bit of both.
Because I haven't actually read the novel yet.
Novel is actually the first publication.
Have they made an anime or is it just the live action movie?
I don't recall of any anime. I'd have to Google that.
Because I feel they would have made more money if they would have went with an anime than the live action movie.
I think they would have made more money if they went with All You Need Is Kill.
Right.
That is a rad title.
Yeah, definitely. And then people wouldn't be confused. Was this the same movie? But
As for the movie aspect, I thought it was an alright movie. It wasn't the greatest movie, but I don't know. I didn't think it was the greatest movie, but I thought it was a good movie.
It might have been the third greatest movie.
Well, the special effects looked pretty good. I know I didn't see it, but I saw the commercial. But it the special effects were decent.
The storyline was decent. It wasn't.
Did you read the manga?
Yeah, I read it. I liked the manga better than I liked the movie.
Was it kind of the same? Was it differences?
It was.
There were major differences. There was, and then it was basically the same.
Yeah, it was pretty much the same.
Taking the movie by itself, and you just watch it, you can enjoy it. I mean, it's an enjoyable movie.
It's an enjoyable movie, but
it's a sci-fi military thriller.
Right.
Okay.
And time travel mixed in.
So that's what confused Groundhog me a little
Day.
Bit.
Well, yeah. Groundhog See, Day. Think of Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day with more guns and a little bit more killing.
The whole thing is it's based on two different races of
They were talking about aliens with powers that be able to go back in time or something like that.
It's one race.
Is it one race?
Yeah, because they're a hive because mind.
They have the alphas and they have the betas.
Yep, it's the same race.
Okay. Well, anyway, the alphas are the ones who have the time-traveling power.
Yeah, you're right about that. The alphas have the time travel power. Sorry, okay. I was just saying they looked way cooler, and the way they acted was way cooler in the movie. Of course, being a manga, they have limited mobility for action, and there were more Japanese style, like I don't know if it'd be called an oni or something like that, but you know, an alien, but based on more of their traditional demon spirits or whatnot. They're round, and they have like spikes coming out of them and big nasty mouths. Ooh. Whereas they have more of a humanoid body and a kind of a elliptical kind of spiraling attack pattern that's almost the same but different in the movie. And I liked the thing is that I think the storyline in the movie, they had two times to go over and then, you know, change things. And I think that the start with the major, that is first off, before this starts, he's busted down to a private,
right?
So, and that's where he's reset. So he's living the worst day of his life over and over again, and that to me added a little bit more compelling, because he needed to get out of that, you know, no matter what the rest of humanity. He had a horrible time. I mean, they sent him in there to die.
It kind of reminds me, I forgot the name of the movie, but it's that guy, they put him in the, and then like he had to go on this train to stop this bomb going off.
Oh.
Nick of Time or something like that?
Something like that. I don't know.
That kind of sounds like Nick of Time, I think.
Yeah. And like he's trying to change, you know, but, you know, he's trying to change.
Oh, no, you're talking about Deja Vu with Denzel Washington, right? Trying to keep the subway train from exploding and going back in time.
It's not a subway. It's just a train and there's a bomb in there and they're trying to find a terrorist.
But it is Deja Vu with Denzel Washington, right?
I don't think
I don't remember watching...
The one he's talking about, I think, is Jude Law. The one you're talking about.
There
is
more
Washington.
Than one train movie, people.
I was
about time travel.
Same concept.
Of course, with that question, if a train leaves Cincinnati and a train leaves San Francisco, how much time would it take? You know that. So,
I was thinking about the one with, what's his name?
The guy from Jarhead. I don't remember his name.
The movie did remind me the most of Groundhog's Day, though. I have to give you that.
Yeah, it's a Groundhog's Day movie is what it pretty much is. But
it's Groundhog's Day with a lot of guns.
True.
Anyway.
What's the main alien that he kills to get the time traveling started? Is that the Alpha?
It was Alpha.
Yep. Okay.
And well, you say it's like, is it a power? Is it like a...
It's the power of this alien race.
Yeah. Well, is it like a machine that they crank? And
no,
is it like
it's
a,
just
a
part of their physiology.
Oh, something they have that they can
use. Something that they have. And because he killed this Alpha, he got mixed in with the wave, the way I understood it in the movie.
In this, in the movie, he got killed by the Alpha, and that's how he got the time power.
He killed the Alpha.
No, in the graphic novel, he killed the movies.
Well, they killed each other in the movie because he picked up that bomb, which was one of the...
If the Alpha would have killed him, there'd been no movie. He killed the Alpha to get the power to go back in time.
See, because it says here, killed within minutes.
He had a claymore.
Uh-huh.
Killed within minutes. Cage now finds himself
inspicably kills the Alpha first, though.
But he is the initiator. He blows himself up to do it. You know, it's a last ditch. The thing's coming at him. I watched it like four times when I borrowed it. The guy's like coming at him, and he grabs the claymore, and so he blows it up. Its blood splatters all over him. Reset time, and he knows it.
Oh, he like has memory of that it happened.
Yeah,
and no one else does. They all think he's crazy. As the first couple of times he goes back, it's and I think that part with Tom Cruise is hilarious. I don't think that they did very much funny business with the manga. It was much more straightforward.
True. Right?
He at one point he rolls under a truck to escape because he has to go talk to this chick.
Yeah.
So he rolls under there the first time and gets squished by the truck and dead. So
or
he
also gets
again.
Doesn't he get smashed head on with another vehicle at one point too?
When they first go in, then when they first go into the landing, there's this big guy that he tries to save like three or four times, and the best he can do is get killed himself and save the guy. But that resets the day.
Oh, so every time he dies, he resets.
See, that's the thing. Not only does he know it, but every time he dies, he's an Alpha now. Yeah. So every time he dies, it resets the day.
Yep.
And see, the way the alien concept was this alien race, they go into battle. If they lose,
they go back in time.
They can reset the day and go back until they can win. If they win, all's great and glory. But they have that power to go back in time. But since he killed that Alpha and got mixed in with the blood, it kind of got into his DNA. So now he's taking the place of that Alpha.
So that's why when he dies, he can... Okay.
That's why he can reset the day now, and he has the memories. And he...
And this is also... This is an innate ability of the race. They don't do this like... I mean, if this certain one dies, it sends a passive signal in its death to their Omega, their leader. And that thing resets the day instantly. As soon as it gets that signal. So,
he's interrupted the signal basically.
Yeah. And he's in the signal. So now he's resetting it instead of their Alpha. So it keeps resetting and they keep losing, but the aliens aren't learning anything because it's not based on what they're doing that's resetting it. And they start to figure out that it's him or that it's somebody that isn't them that's resetting it. And, it's pretty intriguing. And it's that way in the book too.
It sounds
in the manga at least.
Do we want to talk a little bit about Rita?
Love Rita Vitasca.
Talk about Rita because she's one of the main characters.
She's when they first introduced her, I don't know if they introduced her
it's
as
Emily
this.
Blunt, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Emily Blunt did a
I don't know
job.
If they introduced her as this in the movie, but she was called the
Full Metal Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah, they made reference to it, but not very often.
In the movie.
Even in the book, they said that was nothing you said in front of her.
Right.
That was her nickname with everybody else, but if she was around, you didn't say
it's like a nickname that everybody calls somebody without them knowing.
Yeah. Exactly.
She knew, but no one dared say it in front of her. That was the thing I thought, because they had it on signs.
Yeah. Anyway,
in the manga and in the movie.
She ended up killing Cruz more times than I can remember. Every time he'd mess up, boom.
Reset the whole thing.
But would she remember, though? Or?
She doesn't.
She doesn't, but he reminds her.
She knows it's happening because it happened to her. So she helps as soon as he gives her a signal, like he says, "I meet you tomorrow," the first time he meets her, and she believes him instantly and starts helping him because that happened to her, and she must have. It alludes to the fact that somebody helped her As it's resetting, and every time he has to go back and try to find a new angle
to get her. Yep.
And to get this problem solved. And in the movie, they go way deeper through the different things that could happen, and the final conclusion is very final, and I think actually better than the book. I like sappy endings. I like happy endings.
And the manga was not a happy ending.
Well, not for her.
Not for her. And I don't think for him either, because I think it was Keiji.
Keiji.
The other big thing about the manga is it's set in Japan instead of Europe. It's more of a Japanese centralized problem. And so these are, and he's just a private. He doesn't get bunked down. He's just,
mm-hmm. he just starts out with him being a recruit.
Yep. So
and the reason the major is named Cage is Keiji,
if you remember, is Cage,
and that becomes his code name in the book at the end is Cage. Mm-hmm. He becomes the Cage. So that's his.
And see, in the manga, name. There are more than one Omega. So you can kill one and win the battle. And then, see, Rita had won many, many battles in the book.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in the movie, she only won one. And part of the reason that this guy had this happen to him is he had this disagreement with this general. Because he had been on TV billing this machine they were using as undefeatable, saying that Rita Vitasca was able to use this machine with minimal training. Well, she didn't have minimal training. She had hundreds and hundreds of chances to get it right. Yep. And she did learn to become like, I mean, it looked to people that were just watching, and in the same way with him, it looked to them like he was a phenom, like he just picked it up and knew exactly what to do. But in actuality...
And he eventually became that way too.
Yeah.
Right. Over and over the training he got. So he became almost second nature. Right. And I think that's when they started...
Noticing,
and when they started working better together is when he was trained up enough where it was second nature to him, because it was already, like you said, second nature to her.
Right.
So I enjoyed the progression. Like you said, Lenny, it's like so much more than what the book or the graphic novel went into, so much funnier.
Yeah.
So that made it even better.
Yeah, sometimes he did bad, sometimes right. he did good, sometimes he did great and still died.
So, it was hilarious. But it was still a good action flick.
It was entertaining, to say the least.
And I think it's one of my favorite sci-fi. I really liked the concept from the manga, and I really liked the character Rita Vitasca and Cage 2 or KEG, who is personified. And I really thought that they did it. They transformed it very cleverly. I just think they should have kept the title. I really love the title from the manga better, and true. I'm glad I read it, and the differences are cool. Now I want to read the book, because I know that I'm going to get more out of that than even the movie. So I'm really excited to continue learning about this repeating day.
It's somewhere.
I have it, actually.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna say, it's somewhere. It is somewhere.
What you got, John?
I wanted to say that when it came to it, I think I'm not a big Tom Cruise fan, but I liked this portrayal by him.
That's legitimate.
I think that Rita should have been highlighted a little bit more than what she was, because she was... I think she was the main heroine in the whole thing.
Even in the...
Because it started with her.
No.
The whole time resetting thing started
with
her. Not
for the story, though. For her story, yes. But this was Keiji's story. Or, excuse me, Cage's story. Get the Keiji. Two mixed up. Sorry.
For our Japanese viewer, that means the exact same thing. So,
for this story, he is the main focus. So, in that regards, they were staying true to the source material.
Now,
what they could do, which they probably won't since it didn't get the money, go back and do her
story. They would have grossed better, they could have went and made the prequel with Rita discovering it, and we could find
that
out.
That would have been cool.
The fans would really appreciate it, but they didn't make any money. I'm very sorry, Tom Cruise.
So in that regards, I agree with you, but in other regards, they stayed true to the source material.
One of his best movies, one of his worst paydays.
Yeah. And I'm kind of the same way. I don't like Tom Cruise too much as a person. He's kind of
Does anybody
out there.
Know if they made money on Vanilla Sky? because they shouldn't have.
I don't think so.
I've seen it like six times. I still don't understand what happened.
His acting chops are great. Most everything I've seen him in, he's done good.
To be honest, I don't care what anyone says. I am a fan of Tom Cruise. Yeah. The Outsiders. I mean, he's always been. And the thing is, I think he's one of those actors that's become so popular, he's killed himself. Every weird thing he does in his private life, like Mel Gibson, we all do things in our private life we hope don't get on television. And when they do them, they get on television. Yeah. And people, they're like, oh, I don't really like Tom Cruise. I mean, I just enjoy the fact that I'm so much taller than him. And
yeah, that's the other.
I would love to meet him in person and look down on him because he's so much richer than me.
He's our day's John Wayne. Because John Wayne was a short person.
Yes.
And they made him out to be like a 6 foot tall person.
They made him look like a tall guy.
But he was actually, I think, only around 5'8"-ish, maybe, something like that.
I think some of Cruise's best movies were ones where they didn't try to make him seem taller.
No. True. But for this one, I think it was PG-13.
Yeah.
So there's
that.
Makes
sense.
That's what most of your thrillers and action movies and horror movies are starting to lean towards, just so they can get the money.
Didn't work.
No, not for this one. And I think, again, it's just the marketing failure.
But I feel like even though they would have made it rated R, what are they going to make rated R? Just a couple more cuss scenes and more blood? And,
yeah.
But PG-13 just fits it fine. Anyway,
they had a lot of blood. They steered clear of most of the profane language and anything that might be considered lewd because, it was as bloody as it could have been. I don't think they could have splashed one more coat of blood on that movie. Did you see the movie? I mean, his face melts in the first scene. Face melts. I'm sorry, but face melts. Tom Cruise
Jones.
Face melts on screen.
That's Indiana Jones did that too.
And it was also PG-13. I'm saying they kept away from the tchotchkes and they kept it at PG-13 because you can have more blood in America if you don't show boobies. It's just a fact.
That is true.
That's true.
I think, unless you have anything more, Jonathan, I might wrap it up this go around.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much good.
Okay, this is one, I think, this is one of those where we come sometimes say a hidden gem.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure,
I agree. I think it's a great movie. I think it should have made lots of money, but it didn't, so we won't get to see any more of it.
And you can, and by now, it might even be in the cheap bins. But you can probably get it in the cheap bins. They're probably underneath the $15 mark by now on these. Since we don't review them till they're in DVD format and when we can afford them.
$5 bin at Walmart.
Yes. So this is one that if you want to, it'd be a good one to add to your collection for the library, for your personal collection. It'd be one to also to consider. If you don't want to, and your library doesn't have it, I'd strongly encourage you to go to your library and say, pick this one up or get it from another library. So,
or if you're a big fan of the manga and you want to watch the movie.
Right.
True. So I think that's going to be about do it for this time around. We appreciate everybody listening out there. We've had fun. We hope you've had fun listening. We will see you the next go around.
Bye.
Bye.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us.
This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.